Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health. Our topic today is sleep quality, how to improve it. And joining us is naturopathic doctor Hilary Chambers. Hilary is a graduate of the University of Western Ontario with an honors bachelor of science degree in physiology. She later graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine and is a practicing naturopathic doctor in Toronto. Good morning, Dr. Hilary, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
Sleep quality. We talk about people and their sleep. Some people are fine. Others have major problems with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's astounding how many people struggle with sleep. I actually ask all of my patients, do you wake up feeling well rested every single day? It's because it's so common to have issues with sleep. We actually find that 58.6%, a very specific number, of Canadians are sleeping less than the recommended amount for optimal health for their age. And we find that about 43% of men and 55% of women report trouble with falling asleep or staying asleep and have issues with insomnia. So most of us actually here in Canada have problems with sleep.
And what is that daily recommended?
It's about 9 hours if you're 6 to 13. It says about 8 hours or so for 14 to 17. And then anything between actually 7 and 9 hours is ideal for most of the rest of the population. But that starts to decline after we hit about the age of 75 to 80. You won't get as much sleep per night.
So what are some contributing factors to poor sleep?
There are so many. One of the biggest ones I see is anxiety and stress. We have that, I call it that hamster wheel, where you're just, you can't turn off your brain. You have trouble winding down before bed. And that's often a cortisol issue. So that stress hormone is just firing on all pistons instead of lowering as we head toward bedtime. There's other things, though, things like blood sugar levels. Spikes and crash in blood sugar can keep us awake or wake us up in the middle of the night if we get a blood sugar crash. Of course, there's, you know, caffeine and alcohol are huge factors that can disrupt our sleep. Alcohol is an interesting one because it affects your blood sugar, but it also prevents you from getting into those deeper sleep stages. So people think it might help falling asleep if you have some wine before bed, but then it kind of backfires and you don't wake up feeling well rested, or you wake up in the middle of the night. Your routine is a big one. So the body really likes consistency and routine. So if we don't have that consistency and routine, we end up preventing our sleep signals from firing at the right time. And that can make it really, really tough to fall asleep when we want to. So lots and lots of different reasons that people might have issues with their sleep.
So there's a term that's common with sleep, and it's called the circadian rhythm. What is that? And can you describe what's going on there?
Yeah, that's right. That's our day-to-day 24-hour pattern, like our biological clock. So it's pretty cool. The body, they actually find research that shows that all of our different tissues and all of our cells have their own little clock system going on, and they all work together to have these 24-hour physiological patterns. So it tells us when to fall asleep, when to wake up. It impacts our hormone levels, things like hunger signals, feeling awake, feeling sleepy, our digestion, even our body temperature is on this 24-hour circadian rhythm pattern. So that biological clock, we need that in order to function, not just with falling asleep and waking up, because I think that's how most of us think about it, which is true, but it goes way further than that. It actually impacts everything our body does and tells our body when we should be doing those things.
When you mentioned temperature, I found that to be interesting, in that change of seasons, it sometimes takes a while to adjust.
That's really true. Yeah. The body temperature is naturally going to start to drop as we enter into our sleep cycle. So it's interesting. Your body's a tiny, tiny bit cooler while you're sleeping than it is when you're awake. And that's actually because your body's kind of slowing down some of those other cellular functions so that it can work on things like healing and your immune system and your brain, putting memories away, we're filing our memories away and storing our thoughts and things like that. So it has to kind of turn some things down so it can turn other processes up. But then you're right, things like living in Canada where we have major temperature changes and where we also have longer and shorter days and nights, it gets more and more dramatic, of course, right? The higher latitude you go. So those things are tricky for the circadian rhythm because it works on a light-dark cycle. It responds to things like temperature.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of stimuli that can go into affecting that circadian rhythm.
That's right. And I think the most important one is the light-dark cycle. So we have this gland in our brain called the pineal gland. That's connected actually through our eyes. So this is something that detects, is it light outside or is it dark outside? And when it's dark, that pineal gland starts to produce melatonin. And I'm sure you've heard of melatonin before, and it's our sleep hormone. And that's the big hormone that impacts the circadian rhythm and says, okay, our eyes are telling us it's dark out, so we should be sleepy. So we should fire out some melatonin, which is going to get us to fall asleep, and it's going to get us to get into that deep, restful sleep state. But it's an issue because we might be looking at screens before bed, your cell phone or your TV, or we might be in a place where there's lights coming in our windows, or lights in our room even, and that's going to prevent melatonin from being released properly, which also makes it harder to sleep.
Yeah, that blue light off our devices.
That's right. The blue light, man, research actually shows that it can inhibit melatonin for up to 3 hours. It has a huge impact, and those light blue light blocking glasses can be really helpful for some people.
They talk about different stages of sleep. Can you walk us through that progression of these stages and what each one does?
Some research will cite 4 stages and some will cite 5 stages, and that's really because of our brain waves. But I'm going to just kind of keep it simple. So stage one is basically that changeover when you're just drifting off to bed. It's sort of relatively light sleep. You may sort of, it only lasts a few minutes. It's just when you're kind of relaxing. Sometimes you get a couple muscle twitches going on in there if you've had those before. And your brain waves are going to just start to slow down into that more nighttime wave state. Then stage two is actually that light sleep. So you're asleep now, you're not just drifting off. This is where we're getting some things where your heart rate slows down, your breathing slows down. That's where your body temperature drops a little bit, and you're actually asleep at this time. And then stage three is basically what sometimes it's stage three and four. This is the deepest stage of sleep other than our dream stages. So this is still our NREM sleep, and this is what we need in order to feel refreshed in the morning. Basically, this is that deep sleep where you're not dreaming, and then we fall into from there our dream state. So this is called REM sleep, and REM is rapid eye movement. This is basically when your eyes are actually moving, but you're sleeping. Your body's actually paralyzed, so you don't move around or while you're dreaming. And this is when we consolidate our memories. It's really important for that waking up feeling refreshed. And interestingly, we're gonna cycle through these stages of sleep in and out of non-REM and REM. And every time we get into REM sleep, as we progress through the night, we're there for a longer time period. So that's why if you only sleep for, say, 4 hours, you haven't actually gotten into longer and longer periods of REM sleep. So you don't wake up feeling refreshed. But then if we sleep for 8 hours, we've gone in and out of REM sleep a number of times, and we've actually had the opportunity to stay there for long enough so that we wake up feeling refreshed.
People will come into the healthy habit and they'll say, I just can't seem to shut down. Now, you've discussed that a little bit with cortisol being an issue there. Another comment is, I can't get to sleep. Another comment is, I get to sleep, but then I wake up and then I can't get back to sleep. And then another one is, I just wake up tired. And I know you've touched on some of those, but can you expand on those?
Yeah. So those are actually you just described there, David, the different types of insomnia. And so the first one, when you can't get to sleep, this is initiation insomnia, right? Oftentimes that is an issue with your, well, it can be that cortisol again, having low levels of melatonin and high levels of cortisol, which is the opposite of what we want, right? Sometimes that issue with staying asleep is that's called maintenance insomnia. So you wake up at 2 a.m., you wonder, what the heck am I doing awake? That one's a bit more complex because it can be a blood sugar issue. It can be an issue with, for some people, your prostate. but most typically it's an issue with your GABA, which helps us to stay in those deeper sleep stages that I'd spoken about before, the ones that are really important for keeping us asleep. And then sometimes you're right, you wake up and you're like, what the heck? I slept for 8 hours, but I still feel tired. And most often that's an issue with regulating that sleep cycle as a whole. So that can be a serotonin concern, or that can be an issue where you haven't gotten into that REM, that dream sleep state, and then that stage 3-4, that really deep, deep non-REM, you haven't had an opportunity to get into those stages. And sometimes we don't get into those stages if we're using some pharmaceutical sleep aids. If we are drinking alcohol, that's going to prevent those deeper sleep states. Those are the two big reasons.
Yeah, and that's another comment that we hear from customers as well. They have a pharmaceutical sleep aid. They say, you know, I was knocked out for X number of hours, but I really don't feel rested.
Yeah, that's such a tricky thing. You know, I always say sometimes we really do need pharmaceuticals. They are really, really helpful in lots of circumstances. But sometimes the pharmaceutical sleep aids are, they have some cons to them, right? So they are habit forming. So unfortunately, we start to rely on them. So yes, sometimes people go through some really difficult times in their life where, you know what, the pharmaceutical sleep aid is what they need, and I absolutely support that. But we have to just be careful that we are trying not to get into a place where we absolutely can't sleep without them. So the reason that happens is because we're circumventing the body's own need for that circadian rhythm, right? We're, instead of relying on the body's internal processes to say, okay, time for bed, and okay, let's get into a deep restful sleep state, we're just, as you mentioned, knocking ourselves out, and we miss the rest of the importance of that circadian rhythm and the other physiological things that it's doing in the body.
The connection between sleep and other functions of our body, it's very close. Sleep can affect our digestion, our immunity, our cognition, blood sugar, cardiovascular, stress, and so on. Getting into that REM is so important for that.
It really, really is. The different things, our body has all these jobs to do all the time, and we can't necessarily do some of those jobs while we're awake. And so we need to have enough time in that REM stage especially, but in also that deep stage 3-4 delta-wave non-REM sleep in order to do those other things, like build our immune system, you've mentioned, or work on healing wounds, for example, or healing cells. It's interesting, the digestion one is such, I think, a really strong and interesting connection. So if we don't get a good sleep, our gut flora starts to change in a negative way. But then on the flip side, if our gut flora is not so great and our digestion isn't really on point, it can actually also cause insomnia. So it's a really intricate and delicate relationship between our sleep and our digestive environment. And then, of course, that's going to start to impact so many other things that, you know, our absorption of nutrients, the way our bowels are functioning impacts our immune system, it impacts our mood. So again, this chicken and the egg cycle of how sleep impacts every single process.
Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's talk about some different natural supplements that can be beneficial to our sleep.
That sounds great.